Welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selena Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pavitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship, and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
So welcome to the first Project Love podcast of the new decade. Happy New Year, Vicky.
Happy New Year.
We're starting with a very exciting celebration. We have kicked off the year by being featured. We're basically the cover ladies of the Evening Standard Life and Style section, which is such an exciting... Oh no, we're looking at it right now. It was an incredible article. Was it two-page article featuring the journal, which is what we're going to be talking about today. So we both did our Goodbye 2019, Hello 2020 journal over the holiday break. And so we wanted to dedicate an episode to talking through our experience of doing it, what we learned from doing it, and also this year being able to really look back over our journal from last year. And this year, I also did the journal with my four-year-old son, which has been, well, we've started it anyway, which he has been loving. Oh. And so that's been a really interesting one to do. And I'll give a few tips on how you can do that with your kids if you want to, if you have kids or if you have children in your life that you want to try it with. And I'll tell you how I've been going through it. But how was it for you doing it this year, Vicky?
Oh, it was so great when I had the time to spend just with me to reflect. It made me... it's more of a reminder really of how sacred that time is with me, that quality time, and I've been really craving it in December. And so I've had a few sort of mini dates with myself doing it, three of them I think I've had, and I had one of them in a cafe, and had some dinner and a glass of red wine, and just really loved the process. I just really loved the process of that connection time with me. More of that this year. It was that reminder really of how important that is to me.
I came away feeling exactly the same. One of the two of the key activities I think I wrote down in the section, the Hello You section, around, I think it was activities that make me come alive, or things that, you know, simple pleasures and reflection, time to reflect and time to dream, went in there. Because we really have created a journal for us.
Yes.
Because I was really moved by how much I love the process of doing this journal. And obviously what's really magical about it is that each year we write in dreams about where we want to take the journal to next
in the journal.
and it's really the main time of the year. We have our check-ins as well, our quarterly check-ins, but to be able to step back and really just reflect on a whole year and get present to this life that I am living and the lessons that I'm learning and the experiences that I'm having. What was wonderful was to look in the journal from last year and to see the dream my dream life that I'd written, and so much of that dream life actually came true this year rather than 5 years' time. But also looking at the things that I set out that I wanted to do, it has been, 2019 was such a powerful year for both of us.
Yeah.
And to really take a step back and reflect on that was really amazing. And it also, what surprised me was how much I was surprised by the things that emerged on the page or that didn't emerge on the page. There were a few sections where I was just like, I don't know how to answer that. And I should really know how to answer that. And so that's actually what is, and I'll talk about it further on, but that's what's actually shaped now my intention for this year. The certain areas of my life in 2019 that were sort of for various reasons neglected. And I was just like, right, I need to really focus on that area of my life and nourish it and nurture it and help it to flourish. So yet again, it's just such a powerful process and such a nourishing one. I'm so grateful for it.
Yeah, me too. And then it was just so great seeing all of your stories on Instagram and your your sharing of how powerful it's been for you as well through that process. And somebody had written, thank you for pulling me out of my cheese coma. Tag the journal. Yes.
Oh God, the food at Christmas time. It's, you know, it's that collective experience of stepping back and reflecting and dreaming together.
Yeah.
Which makes it just so powerful at this time of the year. And obviously with the added bonus of it being a new decade that we're stepping into. Although I did, as we discussed in a previous episode, reflected back on my whole last decade because I turned 40 in October. But I'm not into the 10-year decade ahead plan.
No, I'm not.
I mean, if you are into that, then that's brilliant. But I don't generally encourage people, unless it's calling to them to do it, to do that, because you have no idea where you're going to be in 2 years' time, let alone 10. So your dreams may have completely changed shape. So yeah, I'm definitely a year-by-year girl.
Me too. Even a year is quite a commitment. I had commitment anxiety yesterday.
Did you?
When I got to the commitment stage of the journal, which happens every year, where I thought, well, I just need to step away again and let it settle overnight. And then this morning, I woke up and I knew that was what my intention would be.
Do you mean for your intention?
Yeah, for
the
year.
I had the same.
Yeah.
Because I normally know by October or even before what my intention for the next year is going to be. So I think last year, and mine was stepping into my power, I knew that I wanted that to be my intention long before we even hit December. This year, I didn't have a clue until I was just like, oh God, it's coming.
Yeah.
I still haven't got a clue what it's going to be. And actually now, because I think I was so immersed in the process, I don't know what, I think it came out of doing the journal. So by the time I got to that, I was like, I know what I want this to be.
Mm.
So you got to trust the process, Vicky.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten that.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, as soon as I committed this morning, because I'd sort of had ideas of what I wanted to commit to, but I just wanted to let it sort of settle.
Mm.
And then when I looked back, when I'd written the reason why that was my intention, I looked back and it was calling out to me with all my answers. And I'd started to see the patterns when I'd sort of had that time to step away and come back to it. Then it was really clear once I looked back that that was what it was going to be about, because a lot of my answers about my happiest times and things that I'm craving was all about that.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So mine this year definitely came from what I saw was missing in my life and what I was craving. And it's fine for it to be about that. But we'll get on to the intention stuff in a bit. Let's go through, let's start off with goodbye 2019. Looking back. So Vicky, what did you want to make your 2019 all about? What was your intention for 2019?
So my 2019 intention was stepping into my CEO and also creating the right conditions for me to thrive. And well-being had a big part to play in that. And also strengthening my business skills. I really wanted to learn more about business and go on a learning journey. That was my big plan for 2019.
And how has it been? How has that worked out?
It's been such an expansive year.
Mm.
So much learning and growing and getting help and support. And we've talked about it in previous episodes, working with our business coach, Dr. Talene, working on our mindset and just learning so much about myself in the process and so much about business as well from Dr. Talene, but also from people like Marie Forleo. We did B-School and I've just found that process, that learning journey to be so fulfilling. And it's been interesting because it hasn't been, I sort of ended the year in a place that I wanted to be in, but for different reasons. And so it's all about stepping into my CEO. And actually, when I looked back on what would be, what that sort of meant to me in a work capacity, it was a lot of sort of numbers-based sort of metrics of success. Like this wasn't so much about 2020. It's more like the five-year dream plan, dream life. Is about reaching 1 million people. We had this figure of reaching 1 million people creating such a big impact through Project Love. And it's funny reflecting on that because that's what I thought stepping into my CEO was about.
Mm.
It's like I had this image of what success would be about when you're a CEO and lots of sort of numbers-based metrics that would indicate success. And I've realized actually I've really learned to reframe what my idea of success actually is. Mm. And then it's not about that. And I've got a different meaning of that now. So that was a really, it was really interesting to reflect on that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the journey has been, I was craving this learning journey. That's exactly what I've got. But where I've ended up is probably different to where I thought I would be a year ago.
That is nearly always the way I think. Yeah. I think I'll set an intention and I'll have an idea of what I think that will be like. But I think actually from setting an intention, this is now my ninth year of doing this, that I've realized how often it's like planting a seed and then seeing how that grows and takes shape and manifests.
Yeah.
So mine was stepping into my power. Mm. When I wrote that, it was very much about business, abundance, money, like really about clearing money mindset blocks, because we already started doing that work. But I was also kind of open to seeing what that actually meant. What was me in my power?
Yeah.
And again, at first I was looking, it will mean that we'll be getting all these invitations onto these, you know, podcasts that have millions of listeners and all things like that. But actually so much of it was about stepping into trusting myself and allowing myself to be seen and clearing the blocks of like self-doubt, upper limiting beliefs. You know, we've talked about that in previous episodes. We did lots of work around that, so that I could really be in my power and be in my flow and be coming from a place of service and how much abundance is connected to making a difference. So it was totally, yes, it was involved and taking things to the next level with Project Love. I was like, I wanted to be about that because I want us to take Project Love to the next level in terms of reach, in terms of business. How that turned out is very different to how either of us were ever going to expect. But it was so interesting in the dream part, the five-year dream, there are a lot of those elements that I wrote of where we would be in 5 years' time, of it, you know, exciting projects and partnerships within Project Love and outside of Project Love that actually came true this year. Mm-hmm. So it's, which really surprised me. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I wrote that in my five-year dream. And then it came true this year or last year in 2019. I think it's just that reminds you of the power of allowing yourself to dream.
Yeah.
Getting clear on what that dream is. But then I was totally open to that taking place in the next 5 years. And then some elements of those dreams happened far more quickly than I anticipated. And I think that's definitely from stepping into my power and allowing myself to be in that space. And step into my potential. And it's a lot about clearing blocks for me. Yeah. A lot about clearing blocks. But yeah, it's always such an interesting learning journey and then reflecting back on the lessons. So there is that question in the journal about what are the lessons that you learned this year?
Mm.
So actually, we could jump to that question.
Yeah.
What were the lessons? What were some of the key lessons that you've learned this year? It's page 21 for all of those following with their journal.
Just trying to find it. A big lesson for me this year was to, the importance of simplifying to amplify.
Oof.
And it's just, that's been so the theme I found. I think actually that was starting to come in more in 2018 as well and 2019 in a big way. But when I look back on previous dreams, like the dream of living in Ibiza, living and working in Ibiza, which was a part of 2017. What I realized was at the heart of that dream was the simplicity. And that's what I was craving. And I reflected on that in a podcast actually that we did this time last year. And just even more so in 2019, just this simplifying and just realizing I really love a simple life. That's me flourishing, thriving when there is that simplicity. And that really has surprised me actually over the years, because I've always sort of, you know, been such a high achiever and, you know, wanting to go after lots of things. And, you know, as a business, we've experimented in a huge way over the years. But actually what I've realised is that simplicity for me is key and less is more.
Mm.
And I've really, really now felt the benefits of that in 2019. So that's been a huge lesson for me.
More simplifying.
Yes.
To be continued into 2020.
Pruning. Continue to prune.
More pruning. I wrote in mine, the most important lessons I have learnt that as humans, we really do possess magic.
Wow.
I really felt that this year. By clearing our blocks, facing our fears and setting intentions, we can cause the results we dream of.
Wow, that's amazing.
I mean, I'd say I've always felt that anyway, that our magic as human beings is the fact that we can dream and bring those dreams into reality. But I don't think I'd really, the past year, I've really been practicing setting an intention and then clearing the blocks, very much with the help of Dr. Talene, is acknowledging the fears that come up and acknowledging them and clearing them away. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you get rid of them. They can still be there.
Yeah.
But they're not there to such a powerful degree that they're actually then stopping you from bringing about those dreams. And it really, I've really experienced it like as if I've learned some magic. Then the abundance, making a difference and being of service are intrinsically linked, which was a very exciting lesson to not resist abundance, because actually it leads to being able to make more of a difference in the world.
Yeah.
And then I think I went on and on into different notes, but I think those were the, those are the key ones, the key lessons learnt. Okay, so what about hardest moments in 2019 or some of your biggest challenges?
I think some of my hardest moments were actually some of the most rewarding in the end, which is often the way. So some of the sessions that we had with Dr. Talene, which we talked about in the Upper Limiting episode, one of them when I was really sick, I was really poorly. There was, you know, I think it was a sickness bug, but also probably some sort of emotional, psychological upper limiting as well, because we were reaching a really, you know, important part of the process, the coaching process. And it's just really hard to keep sort of, I guess, to stay present and committed in a process where it's really hard and really challenging, and to lean into fears and face them, really facing fears. I feel like I did so much of that in 2019. And through that process, it's reminded me of my courage, my capacity for courage. But at the time, it's so hard. And you just, I guess it's, you just have to really dig deep during those times. So they always remind you of your capacity for strength and courage when you reflect on them. But at the time, it's bloody hard.
Oh my God.
Hard work.
It's really so hard, this game.
Yeah.
This game of growth and transformation and
creating
a life that you love. It is hard.
Yeah. And to trust the process, which we teach ourselves. And when you go through it yourself, you realize how frustrating it is when someone tells you that, or when you remind yourself of that when you're in it. But it's every time. Trust the process, because it's never, whatever phase. Well, if you are on a journey of growth and transformation, there are going to be times where it's really challenging and really hard, and you feel like giving up. But actually, trusting the process, and you know, going through it and staying present to your experience and facing fears. When you move through that process, you look back and you think, "I'm so glad that I had that opportunity for growth." And so, hardest times and most fulfilling times.
Because it's in the hardest times that we usually grow the most and discover what we're actually made of and what we're capable of, which is usually a lot more than we realize. Mine definitely has to be my living situation. So we have now officially been camping upstairs in our house for over a year. I haven't had a washing machine or a sink for almost a year. Well, definitely haven't had the washing machine. So it's just, I'm with he started off being a toddler, now he's a 4.5-year-old. It's just been hard. It's hard not having a room that you can just relax in that isn't your bed. And hard not having space to go and it's so cluttered. There's lots of storage where we're living. It's a kind of a bit semi-storage space, semi-living in at home. There's just no harmony or space for ourselves to have time on our own. And then obviously having building work below us all the time and the dust and blah, blah, blah. But I think, again, what has helped, what's been surprising how well we've managed to be in that situation for years, a long time. I decided in March that if we were to get through this, I was just going to have to really learn about resilience. And so I went on a real journey about what helps to build resilience. And a big part of that became getting into running. And I documented this. I think I look back and I think it was around March, around April, March, because I was researching like what helps to build resilience. One of the things was building strength in your body and resilience in your body through exercise. And I've resisted exercise since I stopped doing it about the age of 18. It's a long time resisting it. I love doing it when I'm on holiday, like paddle boarding or something. But then, you know, if I'm not on a beautiful sea scene, I'm not interested in doing it. And so I started running and it really made a big difference. I think that mental, that the sort of psychology of like, okay, I can do this. I can keep it up for 20 minutes, 25 minutes, now half an hour. And also having that as a tool. If I was just like, oh my God, I need to get out of here. I need to clear my head. This is too much. Like the pressure is built up. Go for a run. And it just had this incredible way of just emptying my mind and calming me down again. So I had to learn a lot of tools to be able to handle it. But they were really invaluable tools that I've got now. So resilience and, yeah, how to calm myself down when I've got myself pent up with stress and, you know, frustration and pressure and having another pretty much part-time job on top of my other jobs of my work and childcare and so it's been, but do you know what, in amongst all of that, it has been also an incredibly fulfilling year. So yet again, it's just a reminder that you can have real struggles and challenges in a year at parallel to having a brilliant year in other areas of your life. And we've been really lucky. We've gone on some amazing holidays, had great times with friends. And yeah, work has just been dazzling. So, you know, with all,
and word.
Dazzling year. That's literally how it's felt. It's been dazzling, but also with its challenges because, you know, to dazzle. You sometimes have to work through the resistance. But yeah, I should put that in my lessons. Yes. Okay, so on to gratitudes, which is always an important one to do before stepping into sort of looking forwards. My gratitudes are nearly always the same. It's always nearly always features the same people. I always like that a few new friends are added to the list each year, which I always love. But yeah, what about you for gratitudes?
Yeah, it's always the same people. So I remember it must have been the journal saying goodbye to 2016. I had written about the people that I'm grateful for, my Finca familia. So Finca is our wedding, our intimate wedding that we had in a beautiful Finca in Andalusia. And so it became this thing, the Finca familia. So every time it's always those people that I put in there, and a special shout out to you and our celebration sisters, which is our WhatsApp group of 8 or 9 brilliant women who all support and encourage each other and celebrate each other and
entrepreneurial women.
Yeah. And so they always have a special shout out as well. And obviously my husband and buddy. But yeah, it's the same. Yeah, it's the same people.
Pretty much the same list as you, but my name is replaced with your name. What are you grateful to yourself for this year?
So I think I've said this in all of the quarterly check-in podcasts, and it's the same thing again, really. A theme for 2019 was my gratitude to myself for my courage and capacity for self-love and growth and learning and self-development. And how much I invest in my relationships as well, and how fulfilling and nourishing they are, how much I really invest in my friendships and my relationship with my husband and my relationship with myself as well. I'm so grateful for that because it hasn't always been that way. And I'm so proud of that as well. I think my relationships are the thing that I'm most proud of in life.
Amazing. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. And how did it feel? I find it amazing writing that part down, the commitments to yourself. Mm. It's a real moment of connecting. Well, feeling gratitude towards yourself is quite an incredible experience.
Yeah.
Mine was my commitment to transformation, following my heart, and my commitment to bringing my dreams to life. Love that. And actually this year I really spent time on who I'm grateful for. I wrote a long list. I continued into notes at the back.
Ooh.
Which is a first. So that was, it's such a good one to do.
Mm.
So on to the next section, hello you. So this is all the bit where you fill in just things that you love to do, what you love to do when you're away on holiday, activities that make you come alive, places in the world you'd love to visit one day, where do you feel most at peace, where do you feel happiest, all those kinds of questions. Rather than going through all of them and answering them one by one, be here an hour later, was there anything in there that you wrote down that you were surprised by, or was there like a recurring theme?
I think it was actually just, it wasn't so much a surprise because it wasn't like there were new things that came into this. It was more a realization of the simplicity that I love and how it's the same things that whenever I've done exercises like this. And I think probably the similar answers that I had in last year's journal, it's always the same things that I know are really, really important. I think I was just really sort of taking it more seriously this year because, yeah, again, it's another reminder of all the things that I know make me feel at peace, help me to come alive, and things that I love to do, and to make sure that I really prioritize them more this year. Because I think seeing them all in the page, I definitely have prioritized those things in 2019, but with things like well-being, it hasn't always been consistently. So I've had sort of bursts of doing something for like 3 months, like a dance class that I've been wanting to do. And then it sort of drops off. So I think I just really want to build in more consistency with those things this year.
For me, the big thing for me actually in mine was that when it got to the questions about what do you love to do in your time off and on weekends, I was just like, it was like tumbleweed. I was like, I don't know. Because when I looked back at this past year, any time off or any time on the weekends has either been revolved around like, right, what should we do with Sammy to get him out of this house and doing something? So it's like, okay, what can we do to get him into a nice environment that he can, he doesn't mind being at home. He's the one that minds it the least because like kids don't know what they don't know. He's forgotten what it's like being in a house with a kitchen. He knows other people have kitchens and one day we will, but I don't think he misses it in the way that we do. But also every spare minute over the past year has been spent on house stuff.
Mm.
So I just realized, I was like, I get so much fulfillment from my work. And I love playing with Sammy, but stuff for me, I was just like, I don't know. I want to have evenings where I come home and once we have a home where there's a bit more space, like we have a table, we don't have a table. So, you know, that will help. But like, I want to have hobbies. I want to bring rituals into my day.
Mm.
Really want to have daily rituals and moments. I was thinking this morning, if I got up 15 minutes earlier, it's not too much to ask of myself. Mm-hmm. I do like my sleep, but then it means I could start the morning with a few little things for myself, a few little rituals.
Yeah.
But it really made me realize, wow, I really want to spend 2020 nourishing my home life and hobbies and making things and spending time reading and relaxing and not having the TV on, which is our go-to because there's no space to do anything else. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was really surprised and quite shocked at how I struggled to answer that. But it just helped me to go, okay, that needs attention this year. I understand why it hasn't happened in 2019, but now 2020 is definitely my year of hobbies. That's not my intention. it's definitely a part of it. It's definitely in there. So yeah, that was the bit where I think, yeah, I was surprised that I just couldn't come up with any answers other than things I like to do on holiday because that's when I do things. You know, I switch off from the other stuff, but I've filled it all of my time off with sorting out the house stuff or looking after a child. And I need to make some more time for me and my hobbies, whatever they may be.
Ooh, pottery? Printmaking?
Screen printing? Actually, but no, I think it will be things at home. I want it to be things at home.
Yeah. Well, now you've got this canvas. It's brilliant.
Yeah, this exactly.
This is the year.
This is the year. So just a few more weeks till we have a house we can do that in. Till I've got a washing machine. And I'll be off. Who knows what homemade gifts I'll be bringing you.
Yay.
How was it writing your dream life this year?
So, dream life. I'd written in a previous journal the importance of putting down roots, and I never knew where the roots would be, but the importance of having a home that we really love. Mm. And at the moment, I love our flat. I absolutely love it. We've been there 8 years, or 7 years, but I've now started to dream of like a big desk and like shelves for me and my books and like my own office
and
like
a door
and a door.
Close.
Yeah. So I live in a studio flat. It's a big space, but it's a studio. So we don't actually have any doors. And me and my husband now work from home. And I keep saying, oh, we now work from home. We've been both working from home for probably 2 years.
Yeah.
But I feel like only last year I realized, oh, it's because we both work from home, right? Like this has been that way for ages. But just realizing it. And I'm just like, when I think about this dream life, I'm just really seeing this beautiful home that's full of green and natural light and loads of space. And there's a whole office for me and my work. And my husband's got his own studio office space and a bedroom with a door. And just like really dreaming of that and how important that is.
Yeah.
And I don't know where the home is yet. And that doesn't really matter that I don't know where it is. But it's just that really came out strongly, the home. And so over the next 5 years, that'll be an interesting one to see where that takes us and what location that takes us. But it made me really excited thinking about this big desk and this office that I'm going to have.
The desk. I love that it all centres around the desk.
I know. I can shut the door. This is my time. Put my music on. Yeah. And then also all the creativity as well that was in my life in this... when I imagine it 5 years from now and sort of realizing that I think my creativity had really dried up. And I only realized that sort of the end of last year. And now I'm having ideas in the shower again and things that I want to do this year. And so I'm already starting to see that, how that can come to life this year on the way to this, you know, this bigger sort of 5 year plan. And just ways to contribute more and be of more service and make more of a positive impact and things that I want to create for our community. And that really excites me as well, having that fulfillment that comes with that.
Yeah. I think it was interesting doing the dream this year. I didn't add in any ingredients that felt that different from what is possible this year, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like it was the first year where my five-year dream didn't feel hugely different from my this year dream, which feels really good.
Yeah.
That I, for the first time, I'm not reaching out to the next dream. Obviously, I'd like to have a home that's finished, but hopefully we will see that happen this year. But definitely splitting, dividing time between our home, but also getting out of London. Which we do quite a lot already, which is great and really important for us. I think just more of the same, actually, more of the kind of things that I'm doing already in my work, but definitely what do you do on your time off? Hang out with friends, read, reflect and dream, and I make things. So it's that creativity, the same. Fun crafts and, I never know how to say this, mandalas?
Oh yeah,
Mandalas,
I think
mandalas,
you say. Yeah.
I did those on the bridge retreat and they were so good for letting my mind wander and process and be creative and just for creativity's sake. I found that really, really powerful. But I definitely, getting into cooking and just making stuff, like making things for the house once we've got that house. Once you've got those rooms and starting to, God knows what I'm going to be making. Like, I keep thinking of those squashed, you know, ashtrays that you fingerprint ashtrays. That you,
oh, yeah.
Not that we need ashtrays, but like, God knows what I'll come up with. But yeah, I'm definitely going to have some fun, have some home projects this year of repurposing stuff, you know, making things or, yeah, any opportunity for a birthday party, just stringing streamers or I don't know. Those fun thing, pom-pom things you make out of tissue paper. Also actually reusing stuff, reusing, repurposing and sort of focusing on the environmental aspect of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, anyway, but that's, so it's the smaller stuff that came out of my dreams, but it's really interesting looking back at my dream from last year and how big chunks of it actually, well, like I said before, happened in 2019. And I didn't expect, I mean, that's the beauty of it, of saying, okay, 5 years from now, because it allows you to dream bigger.
Yeah.
But what was magical about it was a lot of those, 5 years from now dreams actually happened in 2019, which I only realized that by going back through my journal. I was like, oh my God, that went into the dreams. Like that went into the 5 year plan and it happened this year. So yeah. It's pretty magical, but yeah, it takes
the pressure off as well when you think about 5 years.
Yeah.
Because then if it happens in 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, great, but then there's no pressure because the expectation isn't there for it to happen now.
Exactly.
There isn't any urgency.
Yeah.
But the idea of it being 5 years just enables this whole expansiveness.
You open up to it being possible because you haven't got the pressure at happening this year.
Yeah.
Because if you think, oh, it has to be a dream that has to happen this year, then you could be like, oh, I'm not ready for that yet.
Yeah.
In 5 years, oh, sure, I'll be ready for that.
Yeah.
I'll be ready for all of it. And then actually you open up to it being possible.
Yeah.
And then suddenly that seed starts to grow.
Yeah.
And it can be a lot quicker than you expected.
Mm-hmm.
And yet if it isn't and isn't in 5 years time, then that's cool too.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, no, it's really, it's a powerful exercise, that one.
Mm.
Okay, so now, how about we head straight into our intentions for 2020?
The big moment.
Yeah. So, Vicky Pamit, what is your intention for 2020?
I feel like I'm about to come out on a game show. Woo!
I will definitely come out dazzling.
Yeah, you in your dazzling jacket. So, 2020 is my year of fulfillment, creativity, and vitality. Yeah. And it just, and when I was writing down why I want that to be my focus, I got so excited thinking about a whole year full of, or just gravitating towards things that bring me that sense of fulfillment and vitality, aliveness and energy in my body. And just flexing that creativity muscle as well. I'm just like, I realized actually they were things that had been coming through in my happiest times and not just in 2019, but sort of broadly. And things that I've been really craving and really started to see the patterns. Once I declared it, then when I looked back later on, I saw all the patterns that were those things. And yeah, really excites me thinking about a year of that.
I love it. You've got such a big grin on your face and it's got such a sparkle to it, such a lovely energy to it.
I'm dazzling.
Yeah, if you're not dazzling now, you certainly will be by the end of the year with those three, that three word intention. So yeah, having 2019 as the year of stepping into my power was such a powerful intention. Like the moment I declared it, I was like, wow, this feels really powerful. And I wanted actually this year to be different. There was a little element of me was like, oh, but should I have another equally, powerful one? And then I was just like, no, I didn't need to keep doing that. What came out for me was definitely out of this feeling like, I don't know what I do in my time off. And that kind of, lack of home happiness, I suppose. So 2020 is my year of creating a home life in which we flourish. So that's for me, for my family, but also the friends that come into our home. And really just once we've got the shell, the kitchen in, then we can start to really make it our own. And the reason I wanted to be my focus for 2020 was because I want to adore my home life like I did our time in our old house in Broccoli. And looking back in my my decade review, it was such, it had such an energy of happiness. It was that year of the heat wave, which helped. Because oh, yeah. I really enjoy a heat wave. We were outdoors all the time and had people over lots and we just loved it. And I had my own desk and an office space. I want to love it like I love my work, family and friendships, because those are such wonderful, fulfilling, nourishing areas of my life. And my home life has literally just been a derelict building site, literally. I love the idea of making this my focus for the year, and seeing Fon, Sammy and me flourish as a result, and hear friends say how much they love coming over. That's what I want to create. Also, I just feel like for me, it's going to be really about experimenting and exploring around areas of ritual, my day-to-day rituals, making time for reflecting and dreaming and connecting with those deeper sides of myself, growing plants, growing vegetables, growing herbs, cooking, because I've got a real resistance around that and I really want to find a new approach to it and enjoy it. I'll let you know how that goes, Vicky.
I'll let you know how that goes. We can do that together because I need to also be
yeah.
on that.
Yeah, we could actually do, maybe create a sort of bit of a support thing around it and find different ways to inspire ourselves. But yeah, so it feels like the right thing to focus on to support me in the other bigger dreams and ambitions, things that I'm creating out there in the world. Stepping into my power is very much an out there in the world focus. And it's, you know, incredible fruits have grown as a result from doing that. But now I need to focus on that side of me that's about home and health and nourishment and family and, ritual and simple pleasures and that kind of stuff, because I don't focus, I often don't choose that as my focus. So the ambitious side of me is just like, you haven't given me much to sink my teeth into. But the part of me that's in charge of well-being and love and nourishment is like, yes, big yes to it. So yeah, let's see.
Brilliant.
Let's see what happens. So what are your first three commitments?
Well, I haven't.
You've not done them.
No, I haven't committed to them yet. I need a little bit more time to think about that.
Fine.
Which is a good lesson. If you do need more time, there's no rush.
Listen, those of you listening to this may not have done your journal at all. People do it in February.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got loads of time. We had to do it because we were recording this. I have done my commitments, though.
Oh, well done.
So the three things I commit to doing between now and the 31st of March, find or create some simple daily rituals at home that really add moments of meaning to my life. So I'll be seeing what Tiyu de Haan recommends with that. But also there's a book called Rituals for the Real World by those two sisters who wrote Self-Care for the Real World.
Oh, great.
They've written Rituals for the Real World. So I'm going to check that out and see what ideas it gives. I'm also going to cook three delicious, nourishing meals. And I'm going to enjoy doing it, Vicky.
Wow. Amazing.
Three in 3 months. It felt like, I think, yeah. I mean, I'll have a kitchen to cook in by the end of this month. That gives me about 2 months. So they can be simple.
I love that it's so, like, it's small, but you know you're going to really enjoy those three occasions as well, rather than what I tend to do is 3 times a week I will make,
I
just don't, and then feel bad.
No, and also because if I cook three delicious meals, it also allows me to cook some really not delicious meals. But if I cook three delicious, nourishing meals, then I've got those that I can repeat.
Yes.
I think the key for me with cooking is simplicity.
Oh, me too.
If I can do it easily and in a simple way and I'm like, oh, it's delicious and look how easy it was and I've always got those ingredients lying around, then I just like slowly build up my toolkit of delicious recipes. And the key has to be enjoy doing it. So I need to discover what I enjoy doing and what I don't enjoy doing because the lack of enjoyment... I have real anxiety around cooking as well because I feel like, particularly if I'm cooking for someone else. And my partner is an incredible cook. So A, for laziness, I don't need to, but also I'm like, he's so good at it. And now I'm giving you this bland chickpea fritter. that's crumbling and not holding together. But you know what? And it also could be, once I do have a kitchen to cook from and I can experiment with this, maybe it is, you know, with the running, it's also my podcast time now. So I look forward to the podcast listening as much as I do as the run. And now it feels like me time.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's wrapping that cooking time into something where, again, I'm probably listening to a podcast or, you know, maybe I'm cooking with Sammy and it's something we can do together or, you know, Fonz can be playing his music while I'm, I don't know, we'll figure it out. But finding ways to, just need to find ways to make it enjoyable.
Yeah. Yeah. Love that. Well, thank you. That's really inspired my,
right.
One of my commitments, TBC on the other two. But yes, isn't it funny the commitment? I always get commitment anxiety at this time of year. I think I remember saying it in an overwhelmed podcast actually this time last year. So just being with that this week, commitments will come. TBC.
Yeah, exactly. And also, and you can make them really easy and doable. I mean, I, you know, I'm obviously not been able to hide the fact that I have failed to meet all but one quarterly, all three commitments. I've only managed it in one quarter. This last one, sort of. I mean, some of it was out of my control. But yeah, I think simplicity is key. Because you are adding these commitments on top of other commitments that are already at play. It's not like you've just got these three.
Yeah.
So, I'm always making commitments in the areas that I tend to neglect. So that's going to make it, you know, even harder to stay. But, you know, each time it gets me more and more in like finding new ways of keeping on track with those things and making sure I keep coming back and nourishing those areas and making it as easy as possible for myself.
Mm-hmm.
To you know, meet those commitments. There's a reason I've written them down. You know, but for me, they so quickly can sometimes suddenly become a chore. And that's what the cooking is. That's why I've resisted it my whole life, because I saw it being a chore for my mum her whole life. And I was just like, not for me. And so, but I figured maybe now I've hit 40. I've had the first 30 years and not doing it. Now it could be my choice rather than some kind of weird feminist rebellion.
Yes.
Against the age-long, you know, responsibility of women to be the provider of food. I'm like, nope, not me. Now I can do it from place of enjoyment. But we'll see. Watch this space. I'll be sharing in our first quarterly review of 2020. Before we go, I was going to just give a few tips if you do want to do this with kids. So I had mentioned, I think, on a story saying that that my four-year-old son had seen the journal and I told him what it was. And he said, oh, can I do one? And I thought, oh my God, I'm going to do this with him. So imagine him having a journal, you know, each year of his life, throughout his life. And we met a woman, actually, who said she had done it with her daughter and I think, or maybe her two kids, and some of the they'd chosen which questions for them to answer, so not all of them. And then also allowed them to do drawings in some of the boxes rather than writing. So I did this with Sammy and we started doing on the plane coming back from, well, it doesn't matter. So I started doing it with Sammy and he's loving it. It's really interesting to try out the questions and see which ones a four-year-old could answer. I haven't got to the dream bit, but so some of it, he draws the pictures. What did you learn this year? How to write my name. And I got him to write that. And it's so cute. You can't, I mean, I had to write underneath what the words said because it was quite hard to decipher. But, you know, and he wrote his name Sam in it. And it's actually, I think, going through and letting them see which questions you think they can answer. But it will be so interesting over the years to see then, well, actually, he now has the concept of dreaming, looking forward. Because I mean, I'm not going to get him to set an intention for 2020. I mean, it'd be so weird for a four-year-old with an intention. But it'd be interesting to see what age they understand, or I can give him the concept of what an intention is for your year. I don't think he even has the concept of a year properly yet. So, you know, be interesting over time. But yeah, if you've got kids or, you know, you're close to kids and you have thought about giving this a go with them, I actually think with the existing journal, rather than waiting for us to create one for kids, I think actually it's really good doing it with the existing journal and let them draw in it and let them skip questions or whole sections if you want. But Yeah, it's working with a 4-year-old, so any age above that. Really interesting.
So cool.
Yeah.
Just having that record of each year.
Yeah, and then also I wrote for him things that had happened that he had forgotten, but it's also for me, you know, when they have these baby books and the first step and my first word, and I did none of those for him. So I'm like, I know, this I can do. I'll do this with you. You won't know what your first word was. You will know what you, how you unwound and relaxed when you were 4. Are you ready to step into the new year? You're going to have a snuggly January.
I'm going to have a slow start to the year and just ease my way into it.
Yeah.
I think in previous years I've felt this, right, come on, new year, da da da. And this year I was really proud of myself because I was just telling myself, no rush, just be really kind to yourself. It's okay that some people are full of fire and, you know, let's do this 2020, and that's great, but doesn't mean everybody has to start the year in that way, and it's okay to have a slower start. Ease my way in to the year, but I feel really excited about what the year has in store.
I'm really excited. I'm definitely raring to go, but I think last year and previous years actually I've really taken January slowly. And yeah, plenty of people don't like see, I think January can be a warm up.
Yeah, exactly.
A warm up to the year. Exactly. Just, you know, and particularly if you're in the Northern Hemisphere and it's dark and cold.
Yeah.
This is a hibernation time.
Yeah.
You know, it's a time for being still and a time for going inward. So there's no rush to be making the plans. So if you don't write your intention until midway through February, then you've got loads of time. You've got loads of time. But yeah, if we kind of wanted to create this episode so that you could feel like you were sharing your goodbye hello experience with friends, but it is a great one to actually get together with a friend or a couple of friends and talk through your answers, or with a partner. Even if they haven't done it, you could share your answers with a partner and let them know what your dreams are for 2020 and what you've learned from doing this process. It's an added layer, isn't it, when you get to reflect on what you've learned from doing the Goodbye Hello Journal. And just the power of the process. So please do come and share with us over on Instagram at Love Project Love what your intention for 2020 is, or drop us an email at hello@loveprojectlove.com. We always love hearing from you and about your experiences, your lessons from doing the journal. So yeah, don't be shy, get in touch.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoy this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever. Thank you.